Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
If the Browns play like that, most weeks, they'll win more often than they lose. What does that mean? 10 wins. The way they played yesterday, Andy, 9-10 wins, 11 at the most. The offense was not good yesterday, but it wasn't bad. Defense, pretty good.
Defense was pretty good. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Gave up a lot more yardage than they did against Dallas. And in the first half yesterday, the Jaguars were just atrocious. They had 81 yards of offense, 16 yards passing. That changed significantly in the second half. I still think the Browns defense, the one thing that I thought they didn't do often enough last year that you need to do more of this year, and, you know, the safety works against what I'm going to say, but, you know, like on that last drive, they got down the field. You know, they had a shot, and they didn't pull it off. Stop that offense. Just shut them down. You know, win the game right there. Don't give them a shot to win the game. That's being so nitpicky, it's ridiculous, because they only scored 13 points. But you're not going to hold most teams to 13, so you better score more than 18. All that said, you got to win. Congratulations.
It's the only thing that my biggest concern still are these pre-snap penalties.
There are a lot of penalties.
You know, one of my predictions was that the Browns wouldn't have 11 penalties in this game like they did last week. I was right. I just didn't think it'd be on the other side of 11. But they ended up with 13 penalties yesterday, 100 yards. They gave up an entire field in penalties. And, you know, there were a couple times when they could have just kind of put the pedal to the metal and ended things. And, you know, Corey Bjork has had that amazing punt. But did they really need to be in that position if they didn't have all those penalties to keep backing themselves up? You know, and then you come up with the safety and you can't even walk away from the TV. Because you're like, oh, they got the safety. They're up 18-13. This is good. We're all good. And then all of a sudden you turn around and you're like, wait a second. How much time was left on that 7-play drive at the end? There was a minute 27 when Jacksonville got the ball back. Are you kidding? I mean, the Browns only used 20 seconds off the clock. After the safety, it was 1:44 to go in the game. And then you get to the punt. And then you barely use any time on that drive, right? It's just, come on, man. I just don't know. And then, oh, the horrible pass. And I was just like, what are they doing? Eat some clock. I think they made it harder for themselves at the end. But, again, as you guys have said, it's not easy to win in the NFL.
No. And they did.
Sounds silly.
You know, you went on the road where the Browns weren't great last year. They were 3-5 on the road last year, one of the wins in Jacksonville. So you get another win.
4 sacks in that game, 4 sacks yesterday.
Congratulations. It worked. And, Andy, if you do that 11 times this year, it's been a successful season.
Absolutely.
I mean, you don't have to destroy the other team. You don't have to play a great game. I mean, let's just be fair. The offense was okay yesterday.
It was great out of the gate. Like that 16-play
drive was unbelievable.
Why can't they just script the entire game? I'm just kidding. I know you can't.
Well, I don't know, because that first drive was
so effective,
unbelievable.
So efficient.
16 plays, 89 yards, 9 minutes and 14 seconds on the clock. And unfortunately, Andy, that was the only touchdown the team scored.
Just
only
weird.
Touchdown.
They had, what, 3 drives of over 12 plays? 3. One led to a touchdown, one led to a field goal. The scoring summary is just absolutely bizarre. 7 in the first, 6 in the second, 3 in the third, and 2 in the fourth. They scored 5 points in the second half. 5.
Thanks to the safety.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks to the safety.
Yeah, the offense had 3.
Now, you want to sit here and complain about stuff today? Great. We're here to hear
it. Therapy. I want to hear what you have to say.
We want to hear it. I'm not going to complain about anything. I do think the offense needs to get better. We're going to dig deep into the offense at about 11:20.
Okay.
And we're going to hear from Scott Petrak at 11 o'clock. We're going to talk some defense at noon. The offense doesn't look good yet. Will it ever? I don't know. But it didn't look good yesterday. It looked good enough to win. After that opening drive, it's stunning that the offense had some issues because they just dominated the beginning of that football game. Ryan was in Jacksonville yesterday. Is in Detroit already, Rhino?
Yeah, sir. I tell you, even the airport would look like a tailgate party with Browns fans. Jacksonville, everyone got out of there. I mean, you know, it is what it is. Traveling is fun, but I'm back literally on a rooftop right now talking to you gentlemen.
You work a lot and you travel a lot. Good for you, buddy.
Hey, I work hard and I party hard. I work hard for my money. I'm not giving anything. I can assure you that one.
But Rhino, before you tell us, I'm just curious, what was the crowd like yesterday? How bad was that field?
Well, I tell you, first and foremost, from Friday night, just Whiskey Jack's, the Browns backer bar, Gary Barnage was just hosting it. It was phenomenal. We came in droves. The actual tailgating was phenomenal. It's just every time we go out, man, these Browns fans really show up, and it's just awesome. And Vegas is going to be another one. Same thing with D.C. I digress, man, but that field yesterday, yeah, it was just ugly. But ugliness is what we are when it comes to football. Cleveland old school mentality, just hard nose in the trenches, nastiness, get the defense. I mean, I want offense. I want rhythm. I want chemistry. Everyone wants W's, and that's what we got yesterday the hard way. And it wasn't easy. Again, there's a lot of conundrums, Andy and Jeff, like you alluded to, obviously play calling, drop balls. Cooper, come on, man. You're a Pro Bowl level kind of guy. I understand your gloves were wet or whatever it may be, but there's some things that could have been done where we would have had that game in hand way before it almost got out of hand, and obviously we saw at the end. But, yeah, it was just one of those unique things. And a win is a win is a win. And, guys, just remember last week everyone was kicking rocks and, you know, shaking the fist of the sky. Now we get a W and everyone's all right. We got this back on track, and you see the real teams stand up. We don't know who they are. Dallas yesterday, I mean, with the Browns winning. I mean, NFL is a crazy, crazy league, and there is a marathon still to be played out. But it's good to be a Browns fan today, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Great show as always.
You got it, Ryan. Thank you very much. Ryan was in Jacksonville yesterday, already in Detroit. I'll bet he's in Vegas by the end of the week.
Probably.
Daryl's in Cleveland. Hello, Daryl.
Hey, Daryl.
What's going on, boys?
How are you, sir?
Monday. Hey, man, listen, I don't want to take anything away from a great win, but they miss Bill Callahan something fierce, man. If Deshaun cannot keep getting hit like that, he is going to get hurt, man. I got to say it, man. That offensive line is in trouble, man. They look bad. I know we're hurt, but looking at how many times he got hit and was able to maintain his composure and still get the win, I got to give him his credit, man.
I wonder about the offensive line, Andy. And Daryl, I thought they were much better yesterday than they were against Dallas.
Well, especially on that first drive when they went with the six offensive linemen, too. I didn't think that hurt them. When Zach Zinter moved up, I was like, oh, this is great.
Do we have a number on how many times he got hit? That's really my point, man. He got bent up a lot, man. I mean, you think about that over four quarters. First quarter was okay. I'll give him that as well. But goodness gracious, he was taking some shots. They were bending him backwards and twisting him. It's like, where is that right side? We already know. We already know that right side. They're doing what they could do. Seems like that's happening with the left side. But, God, they missed Bill Callahan.
Daryl, thank you very much. Two sacks of Deshaun Watson yesterday compared to six against Dallas.
Right.
And what was he hit, 17 times against Dallas? I haven't seen a number for how many times he was hit yesterday, but it didn't seem to be anywhere near as abusive of Deshaun Watson as it was against Dallas.
In talking with Nathan before the game yesterday, he made it sound like Jack Conklin and Jed are very, 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 very close. Hopefully back next week. And I mean, I thought Jack would play yesterday, but at the last minute, you know, when they had to make their decision, they made the decision that he wasn't going to play. So
I'm okay with that. I'm okay
if he's
with
healthy
holding
when
those,
he comes back.
Well, you gotta make those guys healthy. You can't put them on the field if they're not 100% good to go. You know, it's too early in the season to do that, Andy. If you put a guy back out on the field when he's 80%, then he's going to be 80% most of the season.
No, and then you're probably more prone to injury because you're, you know, leaning to one side and leaning to the other, trying to stay away from your injury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would think that's exactly the case. What did you think of the way Deshaun played yesterday?
Early on, I thought it was really good. I'm still shaking my head about that throw late in the game. I just rhythm issues with him and Amari Cooper that I'm still trying to figure out.
That was rough.
And I don't know why they're there. It bothers me because I mean Amari's probably one of my favorite players on this team. And so, especially when he had that.
Which is really saying something because he doesn't play tight end or fullback.
That is
or
true.
Or a long snapper.
But we did see that David Bell got back in. But David got hurt again.
Oh, David got hurt.
Man. Yeah.
I wonder, dislocated hip. Isn't that the deal?
That's no fun.
That's not good. Yeah.
But
Amari Cooper, and I just got a text from my
Amari?
Buddy,
wow, that was pretty cool.
My
Amari
buddy text. Jeff.
Okay.
And it's interesting you just brought him up. He said, did Amari Cooper forget how to catch? The answer is no. However, in two games, he leads the team in targets with 17 targets and only 5 catches.
He only had 11 yards yesterday.
And only 27 yards total through two games. But, Andy, he played 88% of the snaps. So what does that mean? It means you've got a guy out there on the field.
That they have to cover.
Who isn't being overly productive right now. And other than Deshaun Watson and the offensive linemen, 4 of them, Amari played more snaps than anybody yesterday. He played 88% of the snaps. And he's not a concern to me. I'm okay with him. I think he's going to be terrific. I think he always is. At some point, when wide receivers hit that age that starts with a 3, Andy.
Yeah, I know.
They usually aren't the same as they were when they were.
Yeah, but I don't think that's the issue. I mean, I don't know if it's just a concentration thing or the way.
I don't think it is either.
It's a connection thing. I for some reason, the rhythm with Deshaun and Amari just doesn't feel copacetic.
I think that it's funny because Dan used this word. I talked to a buddy of mine this morning. He used the same word, and they both said this. Deshaun Watson was fine yesterday.
It was fine. Fine. That's a good word.
And it's interesting that two guys who I respect use the exact same word. And that's what I would say, too. He was fine. Was he good? He was good enough to win, but I wouldn't say he played a terrific game.
I thought Kevin had that tone after the game, too, especially when he was talking about Deshaun.
Yeah.
That he was just good enough to win the game.
Yeah. You know? I think it's interesting. Deshaun has had passing games now of 169 yards against Dallas and 186 yesterday.
That means he's good for 200 next week against the Giants.
He's had, since he's been a Brown, number of 300-yard passing games.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
None. Zero. His Browns high is 289 against Tennessee. It was last September. And he hasn't had a 300-yard passing game since the 2020 season. It was January of 2021. So, it's been a while. I don't know if that's on him or what, but he was fine yesterday. 216-474-0092. Is the running game fine? Is that working? Is that okay? It's Baskin and Phelps here on the Fan. Petrak at 11 o'clock. We were talking about Deshaun Watson's play yesterday. And again, the word we've all agreed on, he was fine yesterday.
Fine.
He wasn't great. He wasn't bad. Got the job done. They won the football game. The opening drive was great. After that, maybe not so much. Jeff's in Mentor. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Got a question. If you look at the game and you keep track, I just think that he played better under the center than out of the shotgun.
Under center than out of the shotgun?
Under the center instead.
I wonder. I don't have those stats, Jeff. I know he likes being out of the shotgun.
I know. He loves that. But if you ever get a chance, try to find that first drive, how many plays he was under center. That's all.
All right, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
We'll take a look for that. Is it? It was yesterday a step in the direction of, okay, this is what you're looking for?
A little bit. At the beginning of the game, yeah. I mean, there were some close calls on that first drive that could have maybe gone the other way. But and I'm not talking about penalties. I'm just talking about, like, could have been intercepted. But he did have some kind of zing there in that first drive. Man, I felt so good after that first drive, right? Like, you were like, they some, put last
week behind
them. Is
that a football term, some kind of zing?
Some kind of zing,
I like
yes.
that. I like that.
Is that a football term?
It is now.
Okay.
Let's use
all 22, some kind of zing.
Zing. Good. I like it.
I thought he played with just a little bit more confidence. I think I also think that we're also just kind of tabling the fact, and I'm not making an excuse. We're just tabling the fact that, you know, his arm is reconstructed. You know, it's not the same after the surgery. There's no way it can be.
Shoulder.
And that you he's had two games now to have really live action against him. Guys that are trying to kill him on the other side. Right? And so, I mean, I think it's going to take a little time. And we're not very patient. I dread to think, man, could you imagine if Trevor Lawrence would have thrown a game-winning touchdown yesterday? I dread to think of what the fans would have been like and how critical our fans would have been with this team against the Giants at home. Thank goodness they got a win, because Sunday could have been really, really ugly around here, especially if Trevor Lawrence would have come back and, you know, had a game-winning touchdown after the safety. Oh. But I don't want to worry about that because I'm going to be positive. Victory Monday.
How's that go?
Anybody with me on that? I mean, it would have been ugly on Sunday if they would have blown it.
Well, yeah.
But they didn't, so that's all that matters.
It was close, but, you know, didn't finish it up.
I just want to feel happy about the win. I'll be honest. I just, especially after the first week, everything was so bad a week ago. Offense stunk.
Does it concern
defense
you?
Defense stunk. Special teams stunk. Sorry, I'm going through my stunk.
I know.
Coaching stunk.
And
Kevin also said that yesterday.
Anything more?
And when he came into the locker room and just talked about, you know, where, you know, how everyone played well in all facets of the game. I don't know if he mentioned coaching or not, but
concern you that Jacksonville had just 16 yards passing in the first half but 180 in the second?
No, I mean, you got to make adjustments, and they did what they were supposed to do. Our offense had 3 points in the second half. Three. The defense almost had as many points as the offense. Something's got to sing there. I got to stop being negative because I don't want to be negative. They won.
Does it concern
you? They're 1-1. Pittsburgh's 2-0, and everybody else is 0-2.
Does it concern you that Jacksonville had about 241 yards of total offense in the second half?
How many of those were just, you know, big plays?
Well, it doesn't matter, does it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, like, when you give up one or two big plays, it's about
Well, you only gave up 81 yards in the first half. That's kind of the point. You didn't have any big plays against you in the first half. You did have a couple in the second, a couple that made it kind of scary.
I don't know. My confidence level isn't through the roof, I can tell you that. After watching the defense made me feel good yesterday. You know,
Even with those numbers I just gave you?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to give up a big play every once in a
while.
The Jags
didn't put up a lot of points. That was good.
Yeah. You know what? It was in the first half when they had that goal line stand where they held Jacksonville to 3. I thought that was crucial.
Yeah.
I think that also made the first half more attractive, I guess, when you talk about big picture stuff and thinking about what they can be down the road. Let's not forget, the other issue here is that no one's 100% after week one. Okay, I get that. But Miles and Zadarius didn't have exactly the greatest health going into this game yesterday. Remember, they missed practice last week?
And Miles talked about that. Something he's going to have to deal with, a foot injury.
Yeah, this team is banged up early, man. I mean, you have 15 more games to go. And they're banged up early. They're just going to have to survive all season long. I don't think you're going to... I have trouble believing that this team can put the pedal to the metal and blow out a team early and just have a cakewalk in the fourth quarter. I'm not smelling that at all.
We touched on it early. Running game. Do you like it?
It's adequate.
I like the balance. Pierre Strong got hurt. Pierre was out.
Yep.
So, you know, you're down to two backs right now. Pierre had only one carry. Didn't go well. Jerome Ford had the explosive play. I like the play call, and Jerome did a nice job on it, but I'm going to give most of the credit to the play call on that. You had Jameis Winston in the game on a fourth down and short, so Jacksonville's assuming he's going to get the ball. Never assume. You know the deal. He picked up 36. Deontay Foreman had some hard runs. I like Deontay. The combination of Ford and Foreman, to me, the FOR guys. Let's call them that, huh?
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, go ahead. The FOR guys, I think, are a nice complement to each other. Though Jerome is not small by any stretch of the imagination, I think Deontay is more of the banger who's going to run between the tackles a little bit more than Jerome. And Jerome's the guy who's going to get outside a little bit more than Deontay. So that's a nice combination while you're hoping Nick Chubb returns. I think you're going to miss Pierre Strong if he's out for any length of time. I was hoping he'd get more carries yesterday. But the running game yesterday, I think you have to give him credit. They had 4.3 yards per carry, 125 yards. That's a pretty solid all-around running game, Andy.
You know, 125, I always like to have someone with 100 yards. I'm always a big fan of that. But I the way this offense is built without Nick Chubb, I get it, and I can appreciate 125 yards. There was, before the game, we had talked about who would be the leading rusher for the Browns, especially with the turf as bad as it was yesterday. Some people were thinking maybe Deshaun Watson would be their leading rusher yesterday. Yeah. He did end up with 20 yards, but that's not how you win games. And like I said this while we were doing the pregame show, I'm like, if Deshaun's your leading rusher, you're in trouble. That means you're missing something. The offensive line isn't able to help, or you're not getting the value out of the guys that you're carrying as running backs if your quarterback has to be the leading rusher. You know, like at the end of the Baltimore game yesterday, I can get it when Lamar Jackson picks up, I don't know, it was that long run yesterday. It was like 40 or 50 yards. And, you know, that's how you get skewed where you might say your quarterback was your leading rusher that day. But there's just, you can't. If you're going into a game assuming that your quarterback is going to be your leading rusher on this team,
that's never good.
No, it's not.
Not on this team.
You're not set up for success.
No, this team is designed to have your running backs be your guys because you don't want Deshaun running the ball like crazy. Against Dallas, certainly different game script because the Browns were trying to catch up like crazy, but they had only 14 carries among their running backs and none for Foreman. Ford had 12 and Pierre had 2. And yesterday, from the running backs, 22 carries. So a little bit more, a little more emphasis on the running game, a little more success by the running game, which I thought was really good and what you're looking for.
Well, I thought Lamar's run at the end of that game against the Raiders was longer than 25 yards. I guess it was just 25 yards yesterday. I thought he was going all the way. Did you see the end where the
fumble? I did, but
I know. I was talking about Lamar there for a second. Again, it goes back to, what do you really expect your quarterback to be running in a passing league?
Not our quarterback, but
Josh
Allen, Lamar Jackson, yeah, those guys are there. They're going to run the football, Andy. That's part of their skill set.
Yeah,
Jaden Daniels.
Is that a winning combination?
Well, it is for those guys.
For a league that's set up for passing?
It is for those guys. It depends on your skill set, doesn't it? Clark is in Cleveland. Hello, Clark.
Hey, Clark.
How's it going, fellas?
Good.
So I feel like we could be more positive than we are. You know, we went into another team stadium where they're a professional NFL team just like we are, and they did not want to go at 0-2. Trust and believe that. So they gave us their best shot. And yes, it was a tale of halves, but, that's sports. You know, when you both teams are paid, both teams want to win, and you're going to have that time. It's a game of momentum. So I think the Browns, of course, we could have – I mean, the most positive thing to me is that we did make so many mistakes, that we did do so many things that could have really put that game away had we not made the mental errors we did. So I think the glass is half full.
Clark, Andy and I agree with you. I don't know if you heard the beginning of the show or not. Win's a win. We're here for 4 hours, so we're going to dissect what happened in the game. Some of those things might not be positive. We couldn't agree with you more. Win's a win. They got it done on the road where they were just 3-5 last year. Good. You've won your first road game of the season. You got your first victory of the season. Scott Petrak covers the team for the Chronicle-Telegram. We'll get Scott's thoughts on all this coming up on Baskin and Phelps.